First John chapter 3, I want to read verse number 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is still sin.
Amen, brother.
And it's an unpopular word, and it's a three-letter word that is disappearing from our society, but sin is still what God says it is. And God being our helper, we want to speak on the subject entitled, The Scars of Sin. The Scars of Sin. Folks, we need to keep in our minds that sin is a terrible thing. Everything we've looked at for the last three nights, the root problem for all this deterioration in our homes, amongst church members, the way people treat their pastors, the rejection of Jesus Christ, it all is traced back to this thing called sin. Sin is the root problem of man, still is. Sin's a terrible thing. Now, Satan is doing his best to pretty it up, and we buy the deal every time, but sin is still everything it's always been, and it's the same thing today that it was when Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins.
Amen, brother.
We read in the book of Romans chapter 3, common verse, we all could quote it. Romans 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned. And to understand what that means, you must read the rest of the verse. Because of sin, we come short of God's holiness, His perfection, His glory, His awesomeness. We are so far away from God as a result of this thing called sin. And no matter what the terminology is, sin is still the problem between God and man. No matter what our problems are in our churches, trace them back to sin. In the sixth chapter, it still says in verse 23 that the wages of sin is death. It doesn't matter what you call that sin. It doesn't matter how accepted it is with society. Sin still pays the same thing today that it's always paid.
Amen.
Death.
Amen.
You know, death is an ugly thing. I've seen so many people die. I've been in the hospital with them, watched my precious church folks leave this life. I spent 6 years as an emergency medical technician and saw so many people die. It's ugly. Death is a terrible thing. It's only second to this terrible thing called sin. Because sin is what brings about death. God created life. Man sinned, brought forth death. It's a terrible thing. Let's look over to the book of Isaiah. Chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1. Isaiah 59 verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Terrible thing, isn't it?
Amen.
Why isn't God blessing? Why isn't God's hand being felt? Why does God seem so far off? Not because God has moved, not because God has changed. It's because of sin.
Amen.
It's the same thing today it's always been.
Amen. Amen,
it's a terrible thing. We have terms like lifestyle to describe a sin that God despises. And the Word of God still says is a hideous thing for a man to be with a man and a woman to be with a woman. It's homosexuality, and that ought to be one of the ugliest words to the Christian vocabulary. Love the sinner, yes, but sin is still a terrible thing. Doesn't matter what you call it. You go over to chapter 64 of Isaiah. Just reading some verses here to show us, to remind us the terribleness, the ugliness of sin. Isaiah 64 and verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, have driven or taken us away. Find anything pretty in that verse? I don't find anything pretty about filthy rags. Don't find anything pretty about the word iniquity. Sin's a terrible thing. And we need to reestablish in the minds of our young folk that sin is still sin. And it always demands a big price.
Amen.
Sin is terrible. The good news tonight is sin is curable.
Amen.
A lot of terrible diseases out in the world this evening. Man searching for a cure. The worst disease of all is sin. And the cure has been found.
Amen.
And the cure is available.
Amen.
The book of John chapter 3. John chapter 3, we're so familiar with verse 16 about God's love and Him sending His Son. Let's read verse 17. John 3 and verse 17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. There's the cure. Saved from what? Saved from sin.
Amen.
Saved from the price of sin, the consequences of sin. There's the cure, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's a terrible, it's an ugly, it's a hideous, it's a destroying, it's a deforming. Just think of all the words to describe it, and you won't do it justice. But the good news is Christ is the cure.
Amen.
If we go back to the book of Isaiah where we just were, and then go to chapter 53... Verse 4 says, surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Healed. Isn't that a wonderful term?
Amen.
Thank God for the cure.
Yes. Amen.
All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the iniquities of us all.
Amen.
Isn't that a wonderful thing? He was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so He opened not His mouth. For us, the cure. The book of Romans, chapter 5. Look at verse 20, 21. Romans 5 and verse 20. It says, moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound. Listen to this next statement. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. No matter how terrible, no matter how hideous, no matter what level, Grace always has the power to cure and overcome sin's grips. God's grace and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can always break the chains of sin. If you're here tonight and you're saved, you ought to rejoice because God sent the cure for you, because it would have never have been found if He had not sent it. Had He not chosen you today, you would still be bound in your sins and on your way to hell. And if you're here and you're lost without the Lord Jesus Christ, don't think of sin as a game. Don't think of it as something the preacher uses to scare you with. Wake up to the reality that sin is real. And if you don't get the cure, you'll die and go to hell. I don't care if you're a little kid or if you're an old kid. You need Jesus Christ. Young people, don't sit there and say, well, when I get old, there's no guarantee of old age. Young people die all the time. Read the paper. Sin is terrible. But thank God, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. As sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. So many people don't want to think about eternal life. They're too busy living this life. But what happens when this life ends? What are you profited if you lose your soul? The book of Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. Verse number 28. Christ speaking here concerning what the Lord's Supper symbolized and showed us. He says in verse number 28, for this is my blood. This is representative of my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. The cure. Jesus Christ. But I want you to get in your heads, and I want you to remember tonight that although there's a cure, sin is nothing to play with. Because you know what sin does? Sin many times leaves scars. Marks upon our lives, upon our bodies, upon our minds, that you'll never outgrow.
That's right. Amen.
Sin is a terrible thing. Yes, there's a cure, praise God, for the Lord Jesus Christ, who has given Himself a cure for sin's problem. But understand that that's not a license to sin. And when we fall into sin, we may pay for that sin the rest of our lives.
Amen.
What about forgiveness? Yes, if we're confessing our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. But God does not always take away the price of sin. The consequences.
That's right, brother. Amen. Amen.
Look over to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. We must be very careful not to get too comfortable because of eternal security, which I believe in. And the Bible teaches, but we need to be very careful not to get so comfortable with eternal security that we develop an attitude, well, I'm once saved, always saved, so if I fall into sin, that's not a big deal. Sin is always a big deal.
Amen, brother.
Sin is always poisonous.
That's right.
And sin is always deadly. And if you're a Christian and you fall into sin, your soul is safe and secure in Jesus Christ. But there's a lot more at stake than just your soul. There's your life, there's your family, there's your church, there's everything that you hold dear to you. And sin can destroy it all if we get a lackadaisical attitude about it.
Amen, brother.
And that's what the Lord drives home here, I believe, in the book of Galatians 6. Verse number 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. You're not going to sin. And there not be no consequence. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Did you hear verse 7? God's not mocked. The Bible still says sin is sin. God still tells us to stay away from it. God says, fine, you want to do it? Do it. But I will require you pay the price for it. Sin's a terrible thing. Came across a quote today, and this is the quote. All human sin seems so much worse in its consequences than in its intentions. That's not from the Bible, but it's biblical. Sin is always worse in its consequences than in its intentions. Sin always looks so harmless. Sin always looks so attractive. Sin always presents itself to us in such a way that we think we can get in and we can get out. Whew, made it. No consequence. It's not the way it works.
That's right, brother. Amen.
Don't be deceived by the intentions. Don't be deceived by the appearance of sin. That sin can scar you for the rest of your life. Well, you got any Bible for that? What happened to Adam and Eve? They sinned, didn't they? God came down and God forgave them their sin, didn't he? Shed that blood, covered their sins, looking forward to the blood Christ would shed. Their sins were forgiven. But what happened to Adam and Eve? They still got threw out of the garden, didn't they? They still died physically. When they got old, they wouldn't have died before the sin. Scars of sin run deep. Adam and Eve, all they had to do was watch over the garden. Once they sinned, they had to go to work. I'm not saying watching over the garden wasn't work. I'm saying they had to really go to work, because then it had to become by the sweat of their brow. What about David? David get off scot-free? Did David cry out in Psalms 51, God cleanse me? God said, okay. No consequence? Ruined his life. Ruined his life. David fell with Bathsheba. Ended up manipulating to have a man killed to cover up his sin. Whew. Nobody knows about this, but the prophet of God came around and saying, David, you're the man. You're going to reap, David. You don't sin, David. Even though you're king, David, you don't sin and get away with it. Cost them a son, didn't it? Cost him, I believe, getting to see the temple built during his lifetime. It actually cost him the crown, didn't it? What about old Lot? Remember Lot, don't you? Looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah, didn't pray, didn't seek the Lord's will, didn't think of things in a spiritual term. He says, now that's the best place for me to be. And he went towards Sodom and Gomorrah. He began with pitching his tents towards it, ended up living in that place. God hated the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah so great that he says, I'm going to destroy this place. He got Lot out of there, not in the nick of time, in his time. Where's the consequence? Where's Lot's wife? He'd never gone into that place. They wouldn't have been in the neighborhood when God destroyed the place. She wouldn't have been looking back when God said, don't look back. Cost him, didn't it?
Right.
What about the great man named Samson? He liked to flirt around with sin.
Uh-huh.
Young people today think sex is a game. Not a game. Sex before marriage can kill you. And don't tell me it's by coincidence. Folks, God's judgment always falls upon sin. Samson started fooling around. Before you know it, he was giving all of his secrets away to the woman. The great man that was sent by the Lord to destroy the Philistines ended up being taken by them, having his eyes plucked out, grinding their meal. Isn't that dignified? Who needs a mule when you can have Samson do it? Eventually cost him his life, didn't it? What about the great man of faith, Abraham? Abraham and Sarah got a little bit rushed. Didn't think God was working fast enough.
Yeah, that's why.
And decided they needed to help God out.
Yeah.
Help God out and we'll get a son. We'll do it our way. We'll get a son. They got a son. And to this very day, Israel suffers. I believe the whole world suffers because of the seed that came from that sin.
That's right, brother. Amen. Amen.
Trying to help God out.
Yeah.
What about Jesus Christ? Believe what you want to. But I believe my Bible leads me to believe as I try to envision my Savior up there in glory. As He sits up there on the right hand of God. In His hands and in His feet and His side are yet visible the consequences of sin.
Yes. Yes.
Jesus Christ, the holy, righteous Son of God, who never sinned, was nailed to a cross because He loved you and He loved me.
Yes.
And in heaven today, those wounds are yet visible because of sin.
Amen.
Don't tell me sin doesn't pay. Don't tell me you can sin and get away with it. Don't tell me you can get out and be unscathed. You don't mess with sin, not pay the price. This is even true when God saves somebody from sin. I've known people who have been saved out of drunkenness who suffer with liver damage for the rest of their life.
Yes.
God saves them. He doesn't take away that consequence, does He?
Right.
He can. But He doesn't. The drug abuser who gets saved, comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ, may pay for the rest of his life with flashbacks and the consequences of the drugs that he took.
Amen.
Saved and secure. There's still a consequence, isn't there? The adulterer may get forgiveness from God and will if they seek it. But you know, they may never regain that damaged marriage. And their home might be forever destroyed because of a 5-minute fling. The saved convict who gets saved in prison, God doesn't commute the sentence, does He? Still has to do the time. The preacher, the teacher, falls into sin, can get forgiveness from God, but they may never minister again.
Amen.
Think hard enough. We've seen cases of men who fell into sin and never were allowed of God to pastor again. See the consequence? This, what we're talking about is the scars of sin. It's nothing to be played with. A young lady who thinks if she doesn't give in, she'll lose her boyfriend, can find herself expecting, and live with the rest of her life with the consequences of sinning. The studly young man who thinks nothing will happen to him could still find himself with AIDS and dying. I'll never forget being asked to go over to the VA hospital in Dayton, talk to a 40-year-old man who was dying, not known from what, and walking into that hospital room and having him look at me and say, "They told you what I'm dying from, didn't they?" I said, "No, I'm dying from AIDS." Scars of sin run deep, folks. We can get forgiveness, praise God for that, but we mess around with sin, and the price could be great. Amen. I remember when I was 16 years old, a young man in his early 20s, said he was called to preach. Became the central figure in a great church split up in the Detroit area. Whole church split, half the members left over this one man. But not only that, he was involved in some gross immorality. Church destroyed over his actions. And I can remember when I was 16 years old walking through the fields, trying to find out where the body was. 20-year-old man. You say, "Well, that's just coincidence." Is it really? God is not mocked. I can remember being asked to preach a funeral for a man in his 30s. Who had been a reckless father, reckless in his life, immoral, fell asleep behind the wheel of a semi and died. Coincidence? Folks, I just believe God means what he says. Amen, and I would never go up to somebody who is suffering and say, "Well, this is because of sin," because it's not always because of sin. The Bible plainly teaches that we can be living perfect, righteous lives, and trials and testings come. I don't want you to go the wrong direction with me, but I'm here to tell you that sin still has a consequence. Amen. You do not know the price of your sin. You do not know if the littlest sin and rebellion against God's command might cost you your life. How many times have folks thought, "Well, speeding ain't a big deal," and they rip down the road doing 70, 80 miles an hour. A little thing. And yet, when they lose control of that vehicle and hit that tree or hit head on with another car and they die. What do we think? There's consequences. And folks, I can tell you that in my own life, when I've gotten out of God's will and thought I could just skirt a little bit into the world, flirt just a little bit with sin, I've always had to pay for it. It's a terrible thing, this thing called sin. scars of sin. God can forgive us. God can save us from. But you know, the consequences might have to be lived with for a lifetime. How can we prevent? How can we stop the scars of sin? You know, it's possible. Amen. It's possible to prevent. It's possible to stop the scars of sin. Let's first of all talk to Christians. Go to 1 John chapter 1. The book of 1 John chapter 1. Verse number 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Look at the 7th verse. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. How do we as Christians avoid the scars of sin? Walking in the light. Not just reading, not just hearing, but doing what God tells us in his word. Too many times Christians are like their children. Do you ever tell your children to do something? 10 minutes later, come and they haven't even started. What's the first thing out of our mouth? Didn't you hear me? I said, take out the garbage. Didn't you hear me? I said, make your bed. Yeah, I heard you. Do we just walk away? Folks, when God speaks to us, he speaks to us to alter us and to tell us, this is what I want you to do. And if we as Christians will be in tune to hear God, be in tune to his word, and not only be in tune to hear, but will do, we will prevent the scars of sin. Amen. It's a guarantee. Now, folks, you might be like Job, a righteous man who had a whole lot of things come into his life. But when it happens, you'll have a clear conscience knowing, well, it's not because of sin, because I've been walking with the Lord. Amen. Isn't that the way we want to be? Good people suffer. Godly people suffer. God never promised a bed of roses for us as Christians. I see suffering. Brother Mitchell Smith is suffering. Godly people suffer. But when we walk with the Lord, we'll always be able to know he's testing us, or he's going to give us the faith to deal with this. And it's not because last week I was somewhere I didn't belong. Amen, see what I'm saying?
Yes, amen.
We have no control over God's testings and trials upon our lives, but we have some control over the consequences of sin. Amen. With God's grace, God's Spirit, God's Word, we can prevent the scars that will be with us the rest of our life. God says, do it, do it. Amen. God says, don't do it, don't do it.
Amen.
We're so thick-headed. We think we know better than God. Well, I can do this and get away with it. Not if God says, don't do it. Walk in the light, hear, and do. And let's talk to the young person. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1 says to the young person, remember thou Creator. Remember your God. Young person, as I said last night, you want to save yourself a world of hurt? You want to save yourself when you're 20, 30, 40 years old, having to live with the consequences of bad decisions and sin? Remember your Creator now.
Amen.
Honor God now. Live by the book now. If God says don't do it, don't do it. Don't mess with that sex. Don't mess with that drugs. Don't mess with that alcohol. Don't mess with anything that's going to cost you consequences that might follow you throughout your life.
Amen, brother. Amen.
You know, I've tasted, when I was a kid, I remember tasting beer. I hated the way the stuff tasted. But I want to know what it tastes like. But you know what? I never wanted to drink it. Because even as a young person, I thought to myself, I don't want to lose control. and not know tomorrow what I did.
Amen.
I don't want to have to look at my mom and dad and have to tell them of some horrendous thing I did. I was scared to drink to the point of losing control. But you know, in our age today, young people don't have that fear.
Right.
Actually, they want to lose control. They want to be so blitzed out of their minds that they forget about all that they're facing. But listen, young person, when you lose control, you don't know what you're going to do. But irregardless of what you're going to do, you might live with it the rest of your life. Remember your Creator, young people. You put God on the throne of your life, saved or lost. You honor God, you honor His Word, you honor your parents, and you'll spare yourself the consequences. This room is filled with adults who can tell you foolish and reckless things they did when they were young that they're still paying for today. Sin, nothing to be messed with. What about the wandering Christian? What can a Christian who's away from the Lord, what can the church member who's backslidden do? Return.
Amen.
As soon as possible, return.
Amen.
The longer you stay in your sin, the longer you stay away from the Lord, the longer you stay out of fellowship with His church, the worse the consequences of sin are going to be. Run back like the prodigal son and say, I'm not worthy to be your son. And you know what He'll say? You are my son. You are my daughter. Bring that fatted calf. Let's celebrate. They've come home.
Yes.
You're here and you're away from the Lord. Don't stay in that condition. God might heap upon you consequences that you'll regret the rest of your life. 2 Chronicles says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, I'll hear. I'll heal. Are we talking about scars? I'll hear. I'll heal. Run back to God now and stop the consequences of living outside of God's will. What should the lost do? The Bible only says repent.
Amen.
And believe. Again, this room is filled with folks who are still paying and still living with the consequences of things they did before they knew the Lord. Doesn't go away, does it? I've heard Brother Hancock's testimony. I've heard Brother Roger Jones's testimony. And even before they were saved and their lives were out of control, they still have consequences. All we ought to hear. If you're here and you're lost, you need Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You need Jesus Christ. The longer you live in your sin, more consequences you're going to rack up. And the greatest consequence of all would be to die. And to be eternally lost. People just got it in their heads that they'll just do their best and they'll stand before God and He'll be sympathetic. The only sympathy God expels is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You die without the Lord Jesus Christ, there'll be no sympathy then. He'll have to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Acts 17 verse 30 says, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Matthew 3:2, John the Baptist came preaching, repent and believe. There's a discussion going on at our fellowship Saturday night. But how far we can go, and how far we should go. And I believe we just need to do what the Bible says. Preach a pure, unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. And invite folks to Christ. And leave it in God's hands. God will do the saving. If you're here and you're lost, this church would lift up before you Jesus Christ. and tell you that Jesus Christ is the only cure for your sins. He's the only hope you have of stopping the scars that are being laid upon you right now. Amen. Run to Him. Repent of your sins. Trust in Him. We invite you to trust in Christ.
Amen.
God help us to consider these things. Scars of sins are ugly things. Only God's grace and our living close to Him will prevent them.